I want to read some verses in Acts 19, if you'll look there with me here tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 19. Praise the Lord. I want to read, beginning with verse number 1, and just read a few verses here. Churches have, for example, our church, we have our church, the name of our church, First Pentecostal Church, it has some significance. And sometimes churches over the years, they change their names or, you know, things change about churches. Our church name has some significance. And I think most of you are aware of the fact that our church is one of the, if not the first church in the state of Kentucky to experience the Pentecostal experience, the outpouring of the Spirit. And there's been a lot of different historical things that have been done to verify that, and no one's been able to say that it's not true. And 1907, an outpouring of the Spirit right in downtown London, and two preachers, evangelists, that were coming from the south of Florida area, coming up through this area, began to conduct meetings at a stable here in London that no longer exists, over in the area of Broad Street. And both of these men, or maybe just one of them, but for sure one of them, if not two of both of them, had been the year before in California in Azusa Street in the outpouring of the Spirit out there. And they came and were just spreading the news, preaching the gospel and preaching the Pentecostal message. And so London was affected by that. And our church was born 1907 in that outpouring of the Spirit. There's a lot to be said about that, but there's significance in that. I've had people say to me, why don't you just change the name of your church? Because Pentecostal, a lot of people think that with that Pentecostal name that you're apostolic or oneness. And so I'll answer their question that way by saying, well, there's significance to that name. The name is, you know, in essence, we were the first church to experience the outpouring of Pentecost in the state of Kentucky, and we are still Pentecostal. And but I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about the whole title, the Pentecostal title, and the significance of it, the importance of it. Why would we call ourselves Pentecostal Christians? And you have to just ignore the book of Acts and not to believe the book of Acts to not believe in the value of the New Testament church being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I use the term Holy Spirit and the term Holy Ghost interchangeably because both of those terms are one and the same. And so don't think different of one or the other, because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was the same experience. Amen. Pentecost, to be referred to as Pentecostal, why would we want that title? Why would we want that title? Well, we want to be called Christians. We know those Christians, those early Christians were called Christians because that they were like Jesus Christ. To be called Pentecostal Christians, we would want to be called a Pentecostal because we want to identify with the New Testament church as is expressed in the book of Acts. And so to be Pentecostal and not have experienced the filling, the infilling, and the baptism of the Spirit is inconsistent. It's not portraying what we really are and what God has done in our lives. Let's read here some verses here in Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, he's describing people who have gotten saved. And people who have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and are now elevated to the position of being called a disciple. They're a follower of Jesus Christ. So a disciple was someone that was a learner. He was giving full attention to the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple was. He was someone who was adhering to the truth of the gospel that he heard. He got saved, and he's following the truth of the gospel, and he's become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he comes to Ephesus, and there he finds these certain people who are born again Christians, who are followers of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Why do we preach messages on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost or any particular truth of the Scripture? We teach it because, and we preach it and we teach it because we want hearers to experience it. We want them to hear it, and that there to be stirred up in them a desire, a hunger for that kind of an experience in their life. They said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." So they had been born again, and they had been baptized in water, and they were followers of Jesus Christ. But still, there is still something lacking in their life. Now, you know how I feel and what I believe about the message of salvation. I don't minimize it at all, because we've heard testimonies tonight about how that lives are changed when they have an encounter with Jesus. So I'm not minimizing what it means to get saved. And I think you should follow and obey the Lord and be baptized in water. Amen. I think you should be a disciple. You should be a student of the Word of God and a follower of the teachings of the Scripture. You should become a disciple. You see, someone that is a believer may not necessarily be a disciple. They may have gotten saved, but if they stay saved, they will eventually move into a whole new level of a disciple who's following the teachings of the Word of God. Amen. And we're always learning, aren't we? If you're like me, you've been saved for a long, long time, but you still hear the Word taught and you still learn. It's an ongoing growth and process of learning and gaining the knowledge of the Lord. So these Christians, there were some Christians here in Ephesus. There was a group of them that fit into this category, but they had not heard the message of the Holy Ghost. They hadn't heard about it. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Three different places in the book of Acts, it gives that specific result or evidence in a person's life. Whenever they're filled with the Holy Ghost, that they have this initial physical evidence and they speak with other tongues. And so this is what happened as Paul was passing through this Ephesus, and he preached to them. They were disciples, so obviously they were hungry for more. Anything that God had for them, they wanted it. And so whenever Paul preached to them concerning the Holy Ghost, and he laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. 12 men there that day were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now we are called Pentecostals because we believe the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. We believe that this is a subsequent experience. We don't minimize salvation or any other experience, water baptism. We don't say that it's not important. We just follow the teachings of the Word of God that says there's still more. There's still something that God wants the church to be experiencing as disciples, believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a long list of reasons why that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But the point that I want to make here tonight is that we need to be stirred up to be interested and desire it. Because many of you here, if not all of us here, we have received the Holy Ghost in days gone by, but that experience has waned. And in your own life, if you'll just take a close look, evaluate where you are in your walk with the Lord, it's not really something that's really alive and vibrant in your life right now. You're not living in that Pentecostal blessing. Amen. And if it's, and we know that from the Scripture that this outpouring of the Spirit for all believers, and this was the thing that set was the mark of distinction in this New Testament church, was that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You can look in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive the Holy Ghost after that. You know what I'm talking about? That famous verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Go to Jerusalem. Wait there until you're endued with power from on high. And you'll become witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll witness Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. You'll have power to spread the gospel. And so it's not a message that isn't consistent with the rest of the message of the gospel. The Holy Ghost was poured out so that we would have power to do this work. And we cannot get it done. We can do our best. We can try to reach people and we can come up with a plan or a strategy to try to reach out to the lost. But the reality is this. There is a provision for the New Testament church that has been given to us. So we don't want to be Pentecostal without the experience. We don't want to be Pentecostal without the power that's been provided for us. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power will be sufficient to cause you to be able to witness, to speak with power, and to declare the gospel and see lives changed. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? What a glorious and a wonderful thing that it is when the Spirit of God does its work in bringing about transformation. You can't get saved without the Spirit of God dealing with you. And the Spirit of God is at work in every aspect of your steps of growing moving forward in the knowledge of the Lord. But we need to be Spirit-empowered people. And if we're truly going to be First Pentecostal Church, then we're going to identify with the fact of what God has done in the past. Thank God for what He did 100 and some years ago. But we need to realize that if there was the need for that kind of a Pentecostal experience 100 and some years ago, you can be sure that in the midst of a dark, messed up world that we're living in now, and people are so bound by sin and so held in the clutches of the world, we cannot do anything about it unless there is this supernatural power that is in our lives. Amen. The power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the power that can break the stranglehold that the world has on people. And I've been around the work of the Lord and around the ministry a long time, but I have to tell you that I talk to people from time to time, and there is a blindness. There is a stronghold that the enemy has on the minds and the thinking of people today. You can't talk them in to believe in what's right. You cannot in your own power convince them. There's going to have to be something taking place that's beyond our natural means to try to persuade them or convince them of their need for Jesus Christ. So why not take advantage of this biblical provision that's made available to us in the New Testament church, and that is to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. What happens whenever a person gets saved is that this hold that Satan has upon them is broken. That only comes by the Holy Ghost. That hold upon the Ephesians 1 and 8 says their eyes, the eyes of their understanding has to be enlightened. There has to be an awakening
that takes place. There has to be, their eyes have to be opened to their need for God. Only that can only happen by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. Their eyes have to be opened. They have to turn from darkness to light. That's no easy task. That's an impossible task for people that are bound in their sin. You know that. Paul also says in Ephesians 5 and 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord." How did you go from extreme darkness to now, as a believer, you're walking in the light of the truth? How did that happen? It was supernatural. Amen. It was supernatural. It was the work of the Spirit of God. And if you want to be a vessel, if you want to be a person that God is using to break through the darkness and break through the strongholds of the enemy in this world, the only way that the idols can come down, the only way that the bondages can be broken, is that we be a people filled with the Spirit. Amen. And I guess I've just been, thinking and meditating on this. I've just been sensing my own need of this. I told you at the beginning of the service that I received the Holy Ghost when I was about 15 years old. I was a young person, like a lot of Pentecostal young people. I was raised up in a good church, good people, good, you know, a lot of good influences in my life. But I was floating. I was just barely there. I was on the road to, as soon as I had the opportunity to make a break with the church and a break with, that's what was going to happen to me when I got 18, 19 years old. As soon as I got a little bit of freedom, I was going to make a break from that. That's the pathway that I was on. And the only thing that changed that was the experience. Now, again, I'm not minimizing the fact that I needed to get saved, but in reality, whenever the night that I received the Holy Ghost, and I was about, if there's a such thing as being half backslid, that's where I was. So in that room where I received the Holy Ghost, the first thing that happened to me is that I had to, first of all, repent of all these things and have to be restored back into right relationship with God. I had to confess sin and cry out to God for help. And that time of prayer, which turned out to be close to 2 hours in a back room, back Sunday school room, because I was too proud to pray in the altar with everybody else. And I went to two men and said, "Would you come and pray for me back here in this back room? Because I didn't say I'm too proud, but I was too proud." But I went back into that back room. That's the room, in that room, that things changed for me. There was spiritual power that came into my life that night, that set a new course for my life, and helped me to see that I was not going to be what I thought I was going to be. I was not going to follow a pathway of my own plans and my own ideas. Something really powerful and dynamic took place in that room, in my mind and my spirit, and it was the Holy Ghost. And I broke free from all of those ideas and all of those plans. And, my plans for school, my plans for the future and career and all the different things. I broke free from all that. And I came to that is the night. I go back to that night as the night that my life was changed. And I had a whole new sense of destiny and direction from God. That's the reason why that I don't want to be Pentecostal in name only. Amen. I want to be Pentecostal in every way. I want to be Pentecostal in witness, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I want to have power to have an effect upon those that I come in contact with. Amen. I want to be able to influence their lives. Another thing of great concern to me, Acts 2, 38 and 39. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" For the promise, this is the verse that gets in my spirit and that I think about often. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, I'm 59 years old, and I was 15 years old when that experience took place. A lot of water's running the bridge.
in those years. A lot of changes in my life and in every area of my life. What is that verse talking about? What is this? What is it describing there? This wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise that's to you, to your children, to your children's children, and to all them that are far off. Every succeeding generation until Jesus comes. Amen. Your children, my grandchildren, all of those that are following after us. They're not going to be able to know anything about, you know, New Testament Pentecostal experience unless, first of all, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, it's in you and it's in me. Your little children, your little grandchildren, my family, my children, my grandchildren, they're not going to know about it unless I have something that's so real in my life that the impact is felt in their life, and the generations following will be impacted by it. It is a promise that this can be a generational experience. Amen. That we can pass on to our children. Amen. Now, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost as just something that, you know, helps us to feel better in our church services, although we definitely need the anointing of the Spirit of God. I believe that the Holy Ghost was given to us for a specific reason and purpose, and that primary number one reason is that we'd have power to have an impact upon our world. That's why we have been filled with the Holy Ghost. When we come to the house of God and we desire more of God, it's because we want to be able to influence people, touch their lives. We want the gospel message to have to make a difference in their life. Amen. Amen. So let's ask the Lord to help us as a church and as a body. I know that we're a smaller group here tonight, but we're not so small that it couldn't, if you and I didn't get a hold of this, if we get a hold of this, it'll have an effect on the rest of the church. It'll have an effect upon the young people and the children and all of us. If we'll really get a hold of this, then it'll have an impact on each succeeding generation. They'll feel and sense the need of spiritual power in their lives. Amen. When you go through all the different places, at least five in the book of Acts, where it describes these outpourings of the Spirit of God, these different individuals or groups being filled with the Holy Ghost, that it was evident that they all were needing more from God. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The phrase there literally means be filled again and again. Be continually filled again and again and again and again with the Spirit of God. So I'm a lot of years out of that experience 40 plus years ago. I'm a long ways from that. But I do not want that experience to be dead and dormant in my life. I want it to be real. I want it to be powerful. I want it to be something that is touching my life and causing me to have a ministry that can bring about life change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts 8 and 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. You know the story. Philip is down there. He's preaching in Samaria. And great revival breaks out in Samaria. But when they heard what was going on, and when you read the account in the first part of Acts chapter 8, they were filled with joy. Samaria, well, it says the whole city was filled with joy. And if you read through the chapter, there were miracles. There were those set free from demonic forces. I mean, there were some wonderful things that were taking place in that revival. And after all of that, they heard, Peter and John heard about what was going on, and they made a sojourn down there to Samaria. When they heard what was going on, that they had received the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They still needed more. Samaria was completely turned upside down with joy because of this great revival. But now Peter and John comes all the way from Jerusalem down there and says,
yeah, this is wonderful, but there's something more you need. There's something more is what you need if you're going to really be able to carry on the work that I've called you to. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Same thing happened in Cornelius' house. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a devout man. The Bible says that he gave alms. He prayed prayers. He was a godly man. He directed his whole household to serve God and was seeking after God. I mean, Cornelius was an amazing, godly a man with a real bent toward the things of God. But Peter, whenever he had that vision, and he came, and of course Cornelius had the vision too, and he came and preached to them, even though their household was a household of godliness and a household of prayer and devotion and giving, they still needed the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost interrupted Peter's message. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to be First Pentecostal Church in name. I want to be the Pentecostal Church that is known for Pentecostal power and experience. Hallelujah. Amen. So once again here tonight, what I was hoping to do in this message is to stir your heart so that you'll evaluate where you are. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that you'll begin to ask the Lord. You're not going to receive the Holy Ghost until you begin to pray and ask Him. You're not going to receive until you ask. And you're not going to ask, let's just face it, you're not going to ask for the Holy Ghost if it's something that you're not really interested in. You don't want it. So there has to be something stirring up in our life that you want this glorious provision for the New Testament church that is for every generation to come, including you and me, 2015. Amen. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon your people and on this church. Lord, we recognize our need. I recognize my need. Oh God, I'm in need. I'm really in need. And I know, Lord, that as a body, Lord, we're empty and we're powerless. We can't do anything, Lord, that's going to make a difference in the lives of people except by your Spirit, by your power. So, Lord, would you stir up a hunger in us? Stir up, Lord, a renewed desire for this glorious experience. And, Lord, for those of us that have received in the past, Lord, that we would stir up the gift of God in us. Revive it, Lord, once again, to seek your face and to be filled again and again and again with your power, so that we can truly be what we are called to be, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.